And welcome back to Subject to Discussion. There we go. Live at LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac. Sean Daly, call me anything you want. Do not call me late for dinner. And welcome back to the program. It's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time in Las Vegas, which means it's 8 o'clock on the Mountain Time Zone in Denver, 9 o'clock if you're in the Central Time Zone in Chicago, and 10 o'clock if you're in East Coast in New York City. And the program's heard live every Tuesday. I already said that. It's podcasted off of LVRocks.com. Go to LVRocks.com and click on podcast, and takes you to where all the programs are podcasted from. And I want to congratulate Carnage for its first program on Sunday. It was very good. I listened to the last half hour of it live, and I went back and listened to the rest of it via the podcast, and it was a pretty good program. So I wish doubly well with the show. I don't know who the other guy is, but and anyway, our first guest tonight, after the news to me and the news to you, will be Chip Spear from PoliticalSports.com. He did real well last week. He was on, and it's a different approach. And I want to give him time to get his 15 minutes of fame, as it were, because last week he kind of came on at the last minute notice. Justin couldn't make it from the Dunkelfin, so we had to get somebody else. So I give him this as he's gotten all the I sent out a press release and everything. So he's gotten the whole nine yards. And the website for the program is subject2discussion.com. And email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And people are saying there's a problem with the posting the comments on the blog. Well, you have to put in the word verification there at the bottom to get the question to post, but you also can email subject2discussion@lvrocks.com for questions for Katie Sackhoff, who will be joining us later in the program. And in the second hour, it'll be Philip Nguyen. He's from blogcritics.org. He'll give us a pop culture rundown. And, of course, and I just mentioned that Katie Sackhoff will be on at the end of the program. And the program is archived over on spankwagon.net. And thank him very much for archiving the program. And a couple things I want to mention. After our program went off the air Tuesday, the story broke about those poor miners. I was up all night watching that. That's part of the reason why I caught this cold. First of all, they said there's 12 were alive, one was dead, and then they came back a few hours later to Anderson Cooper. And then they said that only one had lived, and that guy's barely alive, and he's struggling. I hope he does pull through. And the rest of all perished, and they all left notes, and now they're saying how they fought for their lives and everything. And man, horrible. Like I said, I can never go down one of them damn mines, never, never. And now there's a report I was reading on Yahoo just now of an error mine problem. And I think it was Maryland. I was kind of going through the news here. Where is it here, if I can find it real quick? I think it was a Maryland mine. I'm not sure. Of course, it's not. I think it's a Maryland mine. But anyway, and then Ariel Sharon suffered a massive stroke after he had that minor stroke not too long ago. I'm sorry? West Virginia. Is that West Virginia? No, that's the one that they all perished. But there's another one. There's a new one now. There's another one now. All kinds of mines are having problems. It's terrible. I mean, they should up the safety on these mines, or I don't know what. I mean, I guess that happens that kind of line of work, and we're hearing about more now with all the 24-hour news cycles and all that. But then today we had this Alito business going on with the confirmation hearings, and Joe Biden, the senator from where's he from? Rhode Island. He gave a 13-minute question. How can you ask a question for 13 minutes? Was he reading a book? I mean, let that poor guy, I know they don't like him. The Democrats don't like him. And, he has some questionable stances. And just think about Vanguard, this investment firm he was involved with, Alito. But, I don't see anything really that wrong with the guy. I mean, the abortion thing is an issue. But, I mean, it's a law of the land. He said he'll follow the law of the land. So, I mean, that's fine. I mean, obviously he's going to pass. So, but why ask a 13-minute question and give the guy a minute to answer it? I mean, it just boggles the mind. So, what else happened this week? I'll go through the news a little bit. From last Wednesday, we had, the aftermath of the miners, as I said, and Ariel Sharon having that massive stroke. And also I saw on Countdown, John Shibley, he's a co-compiler of banned words lists, of a banned words list from a university on the East Coast. And they want a breaking news banned because now those words are being used for such things as Oprah's jet window being cracked by a bird and Kate Holmes' pregnancy. So they're using the breaking news thing for that. Well, you know, I agree. And then also Thursday, we had a big news out of Las Vegas that the Stardust is going to be slated for demolition. I mean, Stardust, those of you who don't know, Stardust is an old hotel here in town. That's one of the oldest, well, not really oldest, it's among the oldest hotels in town. It used to be Boyd Gaming owns it, and I believe Howard Hughes owned it at one time. I'm not quite sure. That was the one that was involved in some of the mafia was shaving off profits off of that hotel. And anyway, they're going to tear it down by the end of the year, and they're going to build a whole new $4 billion resort over there. So...
Well, you know, the
legendary Stardust.
The boardwalk closed.
Yeah, the boardwalk closed too. We lost two legendary hotels here in town. Yeah. You know, Hobo Stew. I used to go there all the time for the Hobo Stew.
The MGM New York, you know, they own
huge
that land.
Thing. Yeah.
They're going to build condominiums there.
Well, I can't afford it. Maybe you can, but I can't. I can afford a condo above us here.
on this salary, I think I can.
I hear good things are coming our way here in LV Rocks. I don't know. I hope so anyway. No. And they say Boyd Gaming plans to develop a $4 billion resort and a 63-acre site of the Stardust. That's where Wayne Newton was performing for several years until he now moved over to the Flamingo. And there's also a used to be a national radio show out there called America at Night with Ernie Brown. And I helped to produce the show for about 3 weeks when they first got over there. So producing a show for them means just answering the damn phone and screen the call. That's all I did. So anyway, this resort's going to be 5,300 rooms, and the casino will be called Echelon Place. It'll include a convention center, retail stores, and it's scheduled to open in 2010. So that's going to be some kind of a construction project. Wow. And then Thursday, we had the announcement that Jon Stewart will host the Academy Awards. Chris Rock was not asked back, and Billy Crystal turned it down. So, and then that was a kind of a surprise, Jon Stewart, but he's real popular with The Daily Show and everything. And then, of course, we had the continued bloodshed in Iraq, leaves 130 dead. Suicide bombers infiltrated a line of police recruits and a crowd of Shiite pilgrims Thursday as insurgents killed 125 civilians and 5 U.S. soldiers, escalating attacks while political factions worked to force blah, blah, blah. So, and then, so that was the big news, I thought, on Thursday. Friday, internet users in Iraq, I saw this in USA Today, SOARS, there were only 10,000 internet accounts in Iraq before the invasion by the United States and its coalition partners, and then just 25 internet cafes to now about 200,000 internet accounts and 200 internet cafes. So that was interesting. Well, here's also a story in USA Today. 50 coworkers who worked at the Windows on the World restaurant in the World Trade Center they are opening a restaurant pretty soon in the trendy Soho neighborhood with a global cuisine from Chef Raymond Z. Mohan. So this can be the survivors of that restaurant have come together to open up their own place, reflecting all their tastes and, you know, cuisine tastes and everything else. So I thought that was interesting. And then we had Lou Rawls. He died of cancer at 72 years old. Lou Rawls was born in Chicago, and the last thing he did was sing the national anthem at Comiskey Park at the Cell in Chicago for the White Sox in the World Series. So, yeah, it was terrible. Sunday, and then we had that horrible Black Hawk helicopter crash in northern Iraq, killing all 12 troops aboard. Earlier in the week, 5 U.S. soldiers died in action. It was one of the worst months in Iraq for U.S. soldiers. So, and then Ted Koppel made his big decision on Sunday to go to the Discovery Network instead of HBO, like it was rumored to be. And he kind of took a shot at Anderson Cooper. He said reporters should not emote like Anderson Cooper does. He believes reporters should be non-emotional and just deliver the news. They shouldn't be getting into the story and crying like Anderson Cooper did during the hurricane business and all that. So that's what he thinks. Then, of course, Monday, yesterday, we had the Alito confirmation hearings started. And then today, we had the follow-up. CNN's following up on the body parts being stolen story. Some cases, stolen bones were replaced with pipes. They're replacing these bones with, in the caskets with, pipes. You know, they take out the bone, they put a pipe in there, and they cover up with the slack or the dress or whatever. I thought it was amazing. At least they're staying on the story. And 3 people have tested positive for syphilis and hepatitis after receiving diseased body parts from one particular funeral home. Wow. So, and that being said, we'll move on to the news to you. And there you go. And see, questions are being posted in the message board or in the chat room here. Very good. Can't get the blog to work. It's Scully Girl. I don't know. I have to get a hold of what the hell her name is. The blogger and see what's wrong with the comments there in the blog. Anyway, this is from today. Unhappiness has risen in the past decade. This is Tuesday from USA Today. There's more misery in people's lives today than a decade ago. I've been miserable with this cold all week, so I know what they're talking about. At least among those who will tell you their troubles. So says a new study on life's negatives from the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Center, which conducts social science research for government agencies, blah, yada, yada. The survey, the researchers surveyed people about negative life events and found that the 2004 respondents had more troubles than those who were surveyed in 1991. Let's see. Overall, the percentage who reported at least one significant negative life event increased from 88% to 92%. Most of the problems related to increased incidence of illness and the inability to afford medical care, mounting bills, unemployment, and troubled romantic relationships. What else? And on a more positive note, fewer of those surveyed reported having trouble with crime. Fewer of those surveyed reported having trouble with the crime or the law. So, well, that's the silver lining around that dark cloud, I guess. And I don't know. Miserable. Anyway, anything positive. What I'm miserable about is these Taco Bells. You know what I mean? Taco Bells make me miserable because I can't get the damn food right from store to store. You know, that's been bugging me for a week now. Did you ever go to a Taco Bell and they can't?
I never go to Taco Bell, you know? But that's not the only place.
Oh.
They all screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, you go to one. I don't mean to go off on this, but I'm going to. But I go there. I'm struggling with the cold. I expect to get my. I went to a different Taco Bell for once. I thought, well, I'll break my pattern and go somewhere else. And then I go there. I said, I'll have my Mexican pizza, yada yada. I'll have my Mexican melts and all that. You know, and the damn thing's made differently than the one way I usually go to. But what is this?
Went to KFC.
Uh-huh.
And
horrible.
It was probably 15, 20 minutes before we. Got her food.
Jesus. Oh, man. You're kidding me.
But you know, the funny thing is, they're both owned by the same company. Pizza Hut.
Pepsi. Yum Brands.
So,
you got to be nice to them. You work for them, don't you?
Yeah, I don't care. I think as far as, management and the skills of people that work there is going downhill.
Really?
All three places, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, we can't get the food be made the same in all the damn stores you go into. I mean, is it that hard, you know, to make ask that they make the Mexican pizza the same damn way as the other restaurants make? And the same thing with Brio
Apparently
Supreme.
It is.
Same Brio Supreme. Where's the damn lettuce? You know, Brio Supreme is supposed to have.
They're cutting back. It's too much for lettuce.
I mean, they're sending that to Iraq, I guess, for the troops. I don't know what's going on. I mean, make the damn things the same from store to store. I mean, why? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I got a problem with McDonald's, too. I'm sick. I'm not going there anymore. This next story is from London. This is a horrible, horrible story. British babysitters jailed for raping an infant. Now, how the hell do you rape an infant? I mean, this is ridiculous. They should, you know, as much as I'm against the death penalty, you know what I'm saying? I think they should throw them into the general population that the prisoners have at these people. But London, or they need to be examined to see what the hell makes these people do these kind of things. What is in their brain? Is it a chemical imbalance? Their favorite TV show was canceled. I mean, what caused this? This says a British couple were jailed for raping a 3-month-old child. They had been babysitting and taking photographs of the assaults.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Absolutely. Well, I know a lot of some British people. They're pretty good people. These two, Alan Webster, 40, was jailed for life after confessing to raping the baby 4 times in early 2004. Get a little of this. While his 19-year-old girlfriend, Tanya French, was jailed for 5 years, only 5 years, why isn't she put in, after pleading to one account of rape? The infant's mother learned of the assault after being told by police who tracked down Webster as part of an international investigation into child pornography. I mean, this is horrible. The couple plead guilty to other charges of indecent assault and taking indecent photographs of children, while Webster was also found guilty of indecently assaulting a 14-year-old girl who often visited their home. Man, it's horrible. Any child abuse is horrible, but an infant, how, you know, does your mind go about, you know, contemplating this? I cannot fathom that, but... it's sickening. This next one is also from today. Human skin-bound books in many libraries. It's from Providence, Rhode Island. Brown University's library boasts an anatomy book that combines form and function in a macabre fashion. Its cover, tanned and polished to a smooth golden brown, like fine leather, is made of human skin. In fact, a number of nations' finest libraries, like Harvard's, have such books in their collections. The practice of binding books in human skin was not uncommon in centuries past. Brown's John Hay Library has three books bound in human skin. The 1568 anatomy text by the Belgian surgeon Andreas Vesalius, and two 19th century editions of The Dance of Death, a medieval morality tale. I heard lamps. Was it the? I don't know who had the lamps in skin. Was that the Nazis or something like that? I mean, some of this is crazy. And see, this next one was also from today. Sidewalk hotspot kills dog. City takes full responsibility. What's with all these dog stories, I'm wondering? City takes full responsibility for incident. This is from Boston. Inspectors are searching for stray currents along Boston city streets after a dog was electrocuted Sunday night. News Center 5's Jorge Crioga reported that Killian, a six-year-old lab mix, was electrocuted after stepping on a metal sidewalk cover on Chelsea Street in the Charlestown area. poor Killian. On Monday, Killian's owner, Catherine Bannon, appealed to city leaders to be more vigilant about the so-called hot spots. No kidding. Killian is the fourth dog killed since 2000 by stray voltage on Boston streets. The city is taking full responsibility for, of course, they got, where the hell is the voltage coming from? The wires they connect became loose during the vibrations from vehicle traffic, causing the metal plate to become electrified, thus harming the dog. Oh, that's about killing it. The dog was a 75-pound dog. The owner said it demolished her. It was not fun. It was very traumatic. It would take me a long time to get over it. Horrible. we had a story like that a couple years ago here in Vegas. Some woman stepped on an open line or wherever it was in front of the Treasure Island. She got electrocuted too. They're doing some kind of construction work, and they had the thing going over the sidewalk, and they thought it was covered, and somehow she stepped on it, got blasted. I mean, I don't know. Then we had that one from New Year's Eve a few years back, climbed up on top of the damned stoplight. And to balance him, he reached up and grabbed the electric wire and blasted himself. And I think his family sued.
For what? Stupidity?
I don't know. I mean, I don't feel so. He's the one that went up there. They even had the video I remember watching on one of the news channels. Climbing up on the thing, and you know, they show him fall. They didn't show him get electrocuted. But I mean,
you suck all stupid.
Yeah. So, but hopefully they resolve this. I mean, these poor dog stories were getting left and right here. This is from Turkey. From your hometown, girl gets bless you. Jeez, bird. Okay, I'm saying girl gets bird flu after kissing a chicken. They do that in Turkey. Surmaya Mamuk considered the chickens in her backyard to be beloved pets. The 8-year-old girl fed them, petted them, and took care of them. When they started to get sick and die, she hugged them and tenderly kissed them. goodbye. The next morning, her face and eyes were swollen, and she had a high fever. Her father took her to a hospital, and 5 days later, she was confirmed to have the deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu. She had the damn bird flu. The chickens were sick. One had puffed up, and she touched it. We told her not to. She loved chickens a lot, said her father, the youngest of 8 children. She had held them in her arms, yada, yada, yada. She took care of puppies and kittens also. Anyway, this girl has got the bird flu now. Let's see. At least 2 other children have died of the same virus in Turkey as of Tuesday. 15 people had tested positive for infection and preliminary tests. Many are children, and the disease also appears to be spreading. I hope they keep them over there. We don't want any bird flu over here. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, and this next one is, I saw this on, also Countdown is running the story too, about yesterday, about the mouse thrown in fire sets home ablaze. This is from Sunday from Fort Sumner, New Mexico. A mouse got its revenge against a homeowner who tried to dispose of it in a pile of burning leaves. The blazing creature ran back to the man's house and set it on fire. Luciano Maris, 81, of Fort Sumner, said he caught the mouse inside his house and wanted to get rid of it. I had some leaves burning outside, so I threw it in the fire, and the mouse was on fire and ran back in the house. Horrible. Yeah, Maris said from a motel room, so he doesn't have a house. The house burnt to the ground. Village Fire Chief Juan Chavez said that the burning mouse ran just beneath a window, and the flames spread up from there and throughout the house. No one was hurt inside, but the home and everything in it was destroyed. So, horrible. put the damn thing in the thing, and if it's on fire, runs back in the house and burns the whole house down. it's not funny, but it is, you know what I mean? Next one is also from Tuesday. A mummified body found in front of TV. She couldn't get enough of the Wheel of Fortune, I guess. The mummified body of a woman who did not want to be buried was found in a chair in front of her television set 2.5 years after her death, authorities said. Johannes Pope told her live-in caregiver that she didn't want to be buried and planned on returning after she died.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I guess she's going to come back. Pope died in August 2003 at 61. Her body was found last week in the upstairs of her home on a quiet street. Some family members continue to live downstairs. How can you live downstairs knowing that the mother's dead upstairs watching TV? I don't know. No one answered the doorbell at Pope's home on Monday. It could take weeks to discover the cause of Pope's death, because little organ tissue was available for testing. An air conditioner had been left running upstairs, and that allowed the body to slowly mummify. The machine apparently stopped working and caused a smell that alerted the neighbors. So, I mean, horrible. This next one is from today. A study that the U.S. emergency care, that's why I said we got to catch just bird flu over there, because our emergency care system here in the United States is in shambles. U.S. emergency care ailing. A panel says system has poor capacity to deal with disasters. This is from Washington. The nation's emergency care system itself is ailing, warns a new healthcare analysis. The emergency healthcare system's in serious condition. We have a safety net for healthcare that is frayed. We know about this. I mean, the emergency centers here, rooms here in Vegas are overflowing, and you know what? Most of these people have mental illnesses, and the hospitals don't know what to do with these people. So their state's having to move them around the state to all these other hospitals and fill up the emergency rooms, because they got a lot of these mental patients in there. Whether mental patients do in the emergency room, I don't know. Let me see. Overall, California, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and the District of Columbia were rated best in emergency care, while the lowest grades went to Utah, surprisingly, Idaho, and Arkansas. So that's amazing. And also, I want to mention this thing about the groper-in-chief here. Where did this go here? He was riding his motorcycle with his son there and got a bunch of stitches because he fell off. But guess what? Schwarzenegger does not have a license to ride a motorcycle, so he rode that motorcycle illegally. Where are we at here? This is from Sacramento. Schwarzenegger was riding his motorcycle illegally over the weekend when he collided with a car in his Los Angeles neighborhood. They said police did not ticket the governor for a violation because they arrived after the accident. Mm-hmm. That was you or I. You know, would be probably ticketed and thrown in jail here. Schwarzenegger.
Well, how many times is the officer actually there when it? Accident happens.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if that was us, we'd be in jail here.
Read that again.
Oh, I was reading it. Early Tuesday, Schwarzenegger acknowledged he never bothered to obtain a motorcycle license because we never thought about it. Here's the governor of your state, you know? I don't know. But I thought that was very interesting. We'll see what happens with him, shall we? So anyway, the emergency care system, he's got a bunch of stitches on his upper lip there, 12 stitches, I think it says there. So, he won't be kissing Maria Shriver anytime soon, will he? So next one is also, this is from, what city is this from? This is from Friday from New York. There you go. Thieves net $100,000 in Washington Mutual ATM scheme. Group used fake keypads and bank card slots in New York branches to steal money from bank accounts. This is a sophisticated group of thieves used technical trickery to steal ATM card information over $100,000 from customers at two New York Washington Mutual branches. So somehow they got these fake keypads onto the real keypads and fake card slots onto the real card slots. I don't know how they could do all this, but the damn camera's not seeing it, but somehow they pulled that off. This next one is from Friday. Chamber of Commerce director sentenced for embezzling. Tamara Thomas was former director of Erie, Pennsylvania's Chamber of Commerce. A former director of the Erie Chamber of Commerce was sentenced Friday to 90 days in jail and 8 years of probation for embezzling money from the organization. She also had to pay restitution. The exact amount has to be determined, yada, yada, yada. In November, she pleaded guilty to one count of theft between $500 and $15,000. So, and she is not to oversee any bank accounts that she does not own. So, no kidding. This is a follow-up from the story we had last week about Mozart's skull. Well, it turned out to another be exactly like the El Capone business from Geraldo a few years back. Mystery of Mozart's skull still unsolved. Vienna, Austria. It's a Mozart mystery as haunting as his Requiem. Apparently, it won't be solved anytime soon. After months of sophisticated DNA sleuthing reminiscent of CSI, forensic experts admitted Sunday on a national television show they still can't say with certainty whether an ancient skull belonged to the composer, as some believe. So all this hoopla and hype was for nothing. This is because it's 250th anniversary of his birth. So the skull, they're hoping it would be Mozart's and all this stuff. So out the window, you know what I mean? So all this build up for nothing, yeah. This next one is also from Friday, that horrible fire in Chicago that wiped out that church. Fire destroys a landmark Chicago church Friday from WGN in Chicago, which is the world's greatest newspaper, the Tribune. A massive fire Friday destroyed a landmark Southside church where Mahalia Jackson and other gospel royalty often sang during the 20th century, and the man considered the father of gospel music led the choir.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Does that suck?
Yeah, the fire gutted the Pilgrim Baptist Church, collapsing its roof and steeple. It's a great loss. The church was built in 1890 as a synagogue and converted to a Christian church in the 1920s. It was designed by the famous architectural firm headed by Louis Sullivan and his partner. Thomas A. Dorsey perfected his cross of the, you know, it's where soul music. I've been to that church many times when I was a kid. Granted, it's not in the best neighborhood, but still, I mean, it's a shame that the place had to burn down. In Chicago, yeah, they had, 1890. It's an old building. It's really too bad. I mean, horrible. And this next one was also a follow-up from last week about the dog food recall business. Dog deaths surpass 100 despite toxic pet food recall. At least 100 dogs in the United States have been killed in recent weeks by toxic pet food despite a recall of the products, scientists said. Some 19 brands of Diamond, Country Value, and Professional dog foods have been recalled, but many pet owners are not aware of the recall. Dogs have refused to eat the food. This is how smart these dogs are. The dogs have refused to eat the food, okay? They know something's wrong with it. They smell, they know something's wrong. And in some cases, their owners have enticed them by pouring gravy and other lures about them without knowing that they're killing the animals. Entire kennels have been wiped out, and because of the holiday these past 2 weeks, the dispersal of blah, 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 the information, now people haven't gotten the information because they're on holidays. The dog food is tainted with a deadly aflatoxins that waste the liver away. The bad food could be present in a dozen other countries as well. About two-thirds of dogs that show symptoms from the toxin have died. The dogs seem to know their food was deadly. Some dogs were stealing food from the kitchen counter. Others just stopped eating the food and begged for treats. And unfortunately, they say some owners use gravy and other mixers to entice their dogs to eat the food they thought, you know, that the owners thought was safe and quality dog food. So, horrible, horrible. You know, dogs knew. The dogs were smart enough not to eat the damn food. You know, and then the owners put gravy on it or something else. Early signs of it include the dog's lethargic, loss of appetite, vomiting. Later, look for orange-colored urine and jaundice, which is a yellowing of the eyes and gums. Severely affected dogs produce a blood-tinged vomit and bloody or blackened stools. Hope nobody's eating lunch during this. So I think our guest is on the line, huh? Chip there? Okay. I think we'll give him his proper due with the entrance music here. We'll see. My voice is really deep today. I could sing. Tiny bubbles in the wine. Where's the damn music? There we go. And we are joined by Chip Spears of PoliticalSports.com. Chip, are you there with us, sir?
I am, Sean. How are you? I love that introduction. It was great.
There you go. Yes, we give you the Fox Sports. Hopefully we'll get sued now over that, but it's all right.
Hey, we're talking about the ultimate game here. You know?
It is the ultimate game. Politics is the ultimate game, especially right now with the Alito business going on, huh?
It is something, I would say.
Yeah. And now it's... Chip is joining us from PoliticalSports.com. He was with us last week, and we got a good reaction to you being on, so we brought you back again this week. And now, have you been watching these Alito hearings?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah. You know, at this particular point, I don't find them as interesting as some of the other things that are going on. But one thing about this is that when they go into these hearings, that Alito is very much like a running back playing football. I mean, he's almost like the galloping ghost. He gives you something to see, but you can't touch him. You know,
yeah.
He gets there in the hearings, and he talks in a manner which gives you the appearance that he's providing substance. But anytime you try to grab him, it's as if there's nothing there.
Ah, so you're saying he does a fake out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
You know, it's a slip and slide and jigger and jump and do anything he can to gain yardage. Because his intent is to get confirmed. It's not to provide truthful information. And it's very easy for him to say something like, well, I'm going to have to decide later when I see the specifics of a case how I'm going to vote. And, you know, realistically, that's what most people would do. But he certainly has shown his tendencies in the past, and it would be it's very indicative of what might occur in the future, though he couldn't say specifically or with great authority, because you never know exactly what kind of case is going to come up.
Really? Now, because I was watching it today, you know, because I watch all kinds of news to get ready for this program, and I couldn't believe, I am a Democrat, I'll say that now, but Joe Biden, did you listen to that 12-minute question? He went on and on and on. I'm like, answer the question, or ask the question, you know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of those guys like to hear themselves talk. I mean, they're up there trying to, they're running for office for their next election as much as anything else.
Well, I mean, I really, it's a no-brainer the guy's going to get in. I mean, by sheer party vote, plus he seems, to me, he seems to be, he's acceptable. He said he'll follow the rule of the law with Roe versus Wade, and, that's okay. And we got another election coming up in a couple of years. I'm sure somebody else will retire, so then the Democrats can balance it out, huh?
Well, that's possible, just because of the nature of the Supreme Court and the concentration of nominations coming so close together with Bush, and you still have three more years of his reign. You don't know what's going to happen after he gets out of office, or he still conceivably could have another nomination, which would be for people of the left pretty disastrous. I find it's pretty interesting that Alito would say that his past statements shouldn't be used in judging what he's doing today. And it reminds me of somebody who said something about youthful indiscretions. It shouldn't be taken into account today at all in what's going to be decided for the future.
Yeah.
I just find that to be pretty amusing.
Yeah, that was a Clinton-esque answer.
Yeah, if he's making statements just to apply for a job 15 years ago, what's he doing today if not the same thing?
Well, I mean, all this. I mean, there's a lot of other things that we should be worrying about. You know, this spy tap business. I mean, that's brewing around still. I mean, and what's the name? You want to talk about him too? Abramoff cop the plea on several charges last week.
In some ways, it's like you couldn't find a better player for the Democrats than Abramoff. The Republicans are running for cover, doing absolutely everything they can to distance themselves from Abramoff and everything having to do with any tainted lobbying. They've, because of what's occurred over the past 5 years with the huge increase in the number of lobbyists and the concentration in power, of power with the Republicans, they have just used it to solidify their political standing in every conceivable way. And Abramoff was maybe he's the tip of the iceberg, but he certainly is the most visible at this particular point. And the Republicans really used him, and he used them for everything that they each could gain for themselves in solidifying their power base and getting money for more campaigns and their own little perks. It's going to be very interesting, obviously, over the next year or two or three to see how this plays out, because it's going to be very, very complicated, and there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be implicated in it. There's just so much that we don't know at this point.
It's hard to follow. I mean, there's Indian casino money involved in this, and then Harry Reid has also gotten some, or as they call him here in Vegas, Pinky. His nickname is Pinky out here. And then they got, DeLay. It's like he's finished, huh?
I think so. I think he's had it.
Yeah.
He looks like he's down for the count, man. He's been knocked out.
Yeah.
People are running away from him.
Yeah, I think the fat lady is warming up in a corner for delay there because, he said he's not going to run for his leadership post again. But, I mean, how can the man hold on to his congressional seat with this, looming over his head, huh?
Well, I don't think that he'll be able to. I think that people will be really pissed off. I think that, as I believe last time when he ran, he wasn't that secure in his position, and Democrats are lining up somebody who's pretty powerful in his district to run against him if he does decide to run. But, we're going to have to see what happens in the next few months. I'm sure there'll be some decisions that are made on his part. But, when you look at him at this particular point, there's no way that he can be a benefit to anybody in the Republican Party now. So they've essentially benched him. He's still got friend. People are making the play that he's a friend of mine and all that stuff. But if he can't provide any political capital for anyone,
they'll throw him over.
It's all over for him.
Yeah.
And he was so nasty in a way that I'm sure he made many, many enemies, and he played favorites so heavily that it's really going to come home to roost at this point.
Well, it's amazing because, in his private life, I understand him and his wife taking a lot of foster children, apparently something to do with foster children, yet in his professional life as a congressman, he could be so, ruthless. It's amazing the dichotomy between the two sides of the man,
Well, there's one, like in a lot of different things, you can be a really nice guy, have a good family, but when you get into a football field or a basketball court or whatever it is, you go all out no matter what. You don't think about your friends, you don't think about your family, you just go to play.
Yeah.
You go to score, you do everything that you possibly can to win.
Yeah.
Within the rules, even outside of the rules. And you see people, you watch those close-ups of football and all that, man, people are grabbing, holding, shoving, doing anything that they can get away with.
Yeah.
And some guys are really good at it.
Yeah, I see. In the chat room, Darth Alito is saying that DeLay is toast. Some kind of rep is running against Alito as an independent in his district there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I think he's done. I mean, Bush is going to run away from him fast,
Yeah, I think that it just makes sense that every Republican is going to do the same thing, and he's certainly not going to get any backing from any Democrat.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you saw this. This is, something I was trying to follow up on when I was at home. There's a story out there that apparently President Bush was at a press conference, had given some kind of remarks, and they swear that he was getting fed his remarks in his earpiece because I guess his pauses were more pronounced than they usually are. He did the and all that a lot more. It seems like his words are getting forced. You see that report anywhere? I saw the Brad blog, one of the blogs somewhere, and they're saying how it looked like he's getting fed the words in his earpiece. What do you think about that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me considering the allegations in one of the report in one of the debates.
Yeah,
the photograph with him having that lump in his back, and it's certainly not inconceivable. Many people think that. That he is not able to really answer those questions off the cuff, and he's very uncomfortable doing it. Mm. It only adds to the sort of puppet mentality or the thinking that he is merely a puppet for Cheney and the extreme right.
Yeah.
He's not doing himself any favors with that sort of thing happening. And there's certainly a lot of things that he could do to counteract that, but he doesn't. He chooses not to do so.
No, well, he started to at the end of the year, and he made started making more remarks about Iraq and talking to some groups that weren't necessarily friendly to him. That organization in Chicago, it's not really friendly towards Bush. He went there and spoke about Iraq, but then now he's like he's pulled back, and now with Cheney, the head coach, I guess you want to call him. He's in the hospital, some kind of shortness of breath, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they said it wasn't serious. So.
Ah.
Oh. Back to his usual secret Darth Vader self.
Did he tell Bush, win one for the Gipper in his hospital bed about Alito? Go out there and win one for the Gipper. You wonder. I don't know. And then today he was talking, and I was watching, because I saw this on the internet. I'm like, well, I'm going to watch him. And I saw him on, it came up on Fox, and everything's breaking news with Fox. They have the remarks written down, but I was saying, well, is it more dramatic than normal? It's hard to tell with him. You know what I'm saying?
It is very hard to tell. yeah, one never knows. You know, he clearly is not a real comfortable or too spontaneous in situations like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I find it. And also, speaking of remarks, how about Pat Robertson? You want to talk about him? You know, flying off the handle. What's with him? I still say he's a candidate, leading candidate in the country to have a net thrown over him. You know?
Well, you know, last week, I was thinking about this guy in a slightly different context again, and thinking about him in terms of our country and our religious convictions and all this stuff, and let's look at it in terms of sports one more time and think, you know, we go before a game, you play on any team, and like a football team or something, and before the game, in the locker room, you sit down and pray. You know, you pray for strength, you pray for victory, you pray that God's given you the strength to go out and beat the shit out of this other team, these other people. You know, and you know, God in his magnificence or Jesus Christ in his magnificence is supposed to make you successful. And then if you score the touchdown, you kneel and do the cross and thank Jesus, and you know, you're MVP of the game, and the broadcasters are sticking their microphones in your face, and you're saying, Jesus gave me this strength and this victory. You know, so in a certain way, this permeates everything about our culture. And it's not only just for victory, but think about it in terms of defeat. If we lose something, I mean, and I'm not talking personally because I'm not particularly religious in that sense, but, you know, there's a feeling of, oh, God didn't choose me, or I screwed up, or maybe I did something bad and God didn't want me to win, or I didn't get the girl because I'm a bad person, or if I do something bad, God's sending me to hell.
Well,
to
I
do
mean,
something bad.
Yeah.
So let's extend that a little bit further to somebody who's a little bit more extreme and then takes that attitude and puts it into the political sphere. And he sees this guy, he did something bad, according to the Bible, you know, dividing the promised land or dividing God's land, and he could say, you know, with some justification based on the Bible, that this, that Sharon is being punished for doing something bad by giving away God's land and dividing it.
You know? Well, the press really, you know, they've been jumping on him for a while because he made some other crazy remark in December. What did he say? He said something else, too. It was like, oh, about Chavez in Venezuela, saying, you know, we should just go in there and kill him. I'm like, oh, man, what is he doing? You know, he doesn't. He's
Oh, absolutely. You know, in my mind, he's a real wacky doodle, but, you know, it's not in context, you know, looking at it of our religious country and thinking about all these people that are praying for victory and, you know, just really sad about defeat or losing or blaming themselves or thinking that they did something bad. Or think about, you know, a very religious person might think that their a neighbor, if something bad happens to their neighbor, they could say, well, that person's not religious, they didn't pray enough, they didn't do what they were supposed to do before God. And I don't think that that's necessarily so unusual. So here we're doing it in an international context and putting it in a big political sphere, and suddenly it becomes outrageous.
Yeah.
But I think it permeates our culture, which is, in my mind, pretty sad. But,
yeah, actually, Chip, we got a question from the chat room from another one from Darth Alito saying, what would the steroids crisis analogy be for politics? And he said campaign finance. Would that be like the steroids crisis for politics? Would that be the lobbyist scandal, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, because all this money, they've been sticking them in the rear end with the needle of cash for all these years. Now it's coming back. Now they got an infection on that where they shot them in the ass with the needle for all these years. Now it's coming back, you know?
No, I would agree 100% with that.
Yeah.
The whole money issue, how you deal with that is a very interesting one, and whether it's an actual First Amendment right and free speech is questionable. There never was corporations were never considered to be part of the free speech legal definition until a relatively short period of time ago. You know, free speech had been focused on an individual and an individual's right to say what they want, not necessarily a corporation's mm-hmm. right to do whatever they want with all the power that they have.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I remember reading a particular court decision, and at some time, I don't know, in the last 50 years or so, where that started to change. And it has since become a big issue in Congress and in the courts. So I would agree with the person who put in that question that the steroid thing and campaign finance and the lobbyist issues are very similar.
Yeah, and actually, I'm on your blog, and you want to. I saw this as well, that Bush signed that bill in the law on Friday about the. The torture bill, and then he issued a signing statement that pretty much says that he can go around that if he so chooses, correct?
Yeah. There are a couple of issues that I think are really interesting about that. You know, I can certainly understand from a national security standpoint where somebody would say, if I was the leader, I want to be able to fix this any way I can, as fast as I can, and we've got to get in there and do this stuff, and I don't want to have to pay attention to what anybody else is thinking. Let's just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, the other side of the coin is that when you start doing things like that, it's very easy to start crossing the line,
yeah.
and you start impinging on people's civil rights. And it leads and can lead to unlimited power for Bush and his team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no more competition. There's all this concentration of power in one particular branch of government. It becomes almost monopolistic in a certain sense.
So, like, Bush's team could be referred to like the Yankees. He's like the George Steinbrenner of, politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, that's why they instituted the draft to try to break up monopolies in sports, and they have free agents, and they have salary caps to try to make things a little more equal so that there's a balance between the branches of the sports world, just like the framers of the Constitution set up the government so that there would be checks and balances so that one particular portion of the government could not get too powerful.
Mm.
One thing a couple of things that I find really interesting is that one could ask, and I remember I read the editorial in the Wall Street Journal where they were saying that Bush should get all of this power and be able to do all this stuff for the benefit of national security, and that we should trust him.
Mm.
And I turn around and ask, what has he done to earn our trust?
Absolutely. He's done nothing. He's waged a hell of a war on the Constitution. You know, I mean, that's going real well, but he can't get this Iraq business solved. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you got the troops dying left and right over. That Black Hawk went down. I mean, oh, man, it was horrible. You know, all this is going on. You know, I said the Powell Doctrine, he should have went in there with overwhelming force and just overwhelmed that country if we were to go in there. Yeah. You know?
Yep. And if he's signing his own interpretations of bills, mm-hmm. and he's determining when and how he's going to follow the so-called letter of the law, how is this any different than a dictator or an old-style king? And you know, we've seen these terms for national security used over and over again mm-hmm. throughout history,
mm-hmm.
Where countries or governments have suppressed opposition, and it's moved from external into internal threats. Very quickly, and we would have to really trust him to do the right thing, and draw a line. And he and his administration don't seem to be willing to draw those lines or to respect the other branches of government.
Well,
so our checks and balances start to fall apart.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but what he's doing now gives whoever's president in 2009, say if it's Hillary or whoever, you know, what's to stop her from doing the same stuff that Bush is doing? And the Republicans shouldn't have any room to complain that if he goes in there and does the same thing Bush did in his term. You know, if they start screaming, hey, Bush did the same thing, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Right. There is a split within some Republicans, within the Republican Party, about with those who believe in civil rights and think that the president has seriously overstepped their bounds. But there are a sizable group, including like the Wall Street Journal, who seems to think that this is fine. However, it seems to me that it's more a team playing than it is actually looking at the issues. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, and as you say, if it turns out that in another 4 years that Hillary or John Kerry or whoever it might be, if there was a Democrat that was in that position and doing the same things, they would be screaming like crazy.
Oh, they'd be impeaching them. Yeah, they'd be up in trial the next week. You know what I mean?
Of course. And we're projecting about that, but it seems based on what's happened in the past that one can project that that's probably what's going to happen. So here, it's not the issue, it's the team that comes into play. Mm-hmm. Where the Wall Street Journal and other Republican supporters, whether it's Ann Coulter or some of these others that are, you know, George Will, who are going to say that he's doing the right thing no matter what.
Yeah.
And can do anything, and they're going to back him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no critical thinking going on. It's just blind acceptance.
Yeah, I mean, it bothers me because they don't understand that, you know, the Republicans aren't going to hold the White House forever, you know. Sooner or later, there's going to be a Democrat in there, and they're going to expect the same privileges that Bush had during this. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, you know, if Bush is wiretapping our phones now, what's to stop, you know, Hillary or whoever else to tap our phones when they're in office, you know, for, you know, something else, you know?
Right.
It's just crazy. And also, you want to talk about the wiretaps and the NSA. I mean, I think that whole thing is going to, you know, blow up this year, don't you think?
I think very much so. You know, there are definitely going to be investigations that are going to go into this, and there are going to be questions about why Bush could not have gone to the secret court and the warrants in order to do this. Or why couldn't he have gone back to Congress and say, look, we've got a different situation here, a different technology that's at work, and we need to adjust this law. I need you guys to help me, otherwise we can't do this correctly. And he could have done that, but he and Cheney and the administration decided not to do that. They decided to basically blow off Congress and decide to go on their own and do whatever they wanted to.
Yeah.
And this is really disturbing just because of the precedent that it sets, that the president can decide when and if and how he's going to go along with
the Constitution
or law.
Yeah. I don't know. And before we leave, we got just a few minutes left. Now, where do you get your news from? I watch CNN, I watch a little bit of MSNBC, and I watch a little bit of Fox. And where do you get your news from?
Well, I do all of those things. I check out about 20 different blogs each day. I try to look at foreign news, too, to try to get different perspectives, not only in London and in Paris, but I read a couple of Arab papers that are translated, and I read a paper out of Singapore, Channel News, and I try to pick up a newspaper in Japan and another one in South Korea just to get some different perspectives on what's going on, because it's very hard. You know, I'm in the New York City area, so I look at the Times and the Washington Post all the time, but I'd like to try to get outside of that and get other perspectives.
Well, you're lucky because you have the papers out there. Here in Vegas, you know, we're down to one newspaper out here now. We got the Review Journal, and it's horrible. Basically, all it is the wire services. You know, there's no columnists, there's no writers or anything. When I lived in Chicago, it was nice because we had the Times and the Tribune. They fought it out and everything. We had a local paper as well. But here, I mean, it's horrible for newspapers, you know?
Yeah, you can get a lot of that stuff online. Through the say what you will about the blogs, but the blogs, if you start to pick and choose through them, there's some really fabulous people that are picking up information and posting it, and I think it's really changing the way that we can obtain information. And there's some really good people that are doing stuff there, and you know, I think like anything else, you just have to dig. I'm surprised that there's some place like Talking Points Memo. Josh Marshall, you know, where he gets his information, I scratch my head and think, oh, my God, you know, where does that guy get all that stuff? Because it's really astounding. Yeah. Of course, he has a bunch of people working for him, too. So
plus he's part of that, whatever the hell it is now, the Pajamas Media or whatever it's back to now. I don't know.
That TPM Cafe.
Yeah, TPM Cafe. I mean, it's amazing because these newspapers are losing readers. You know, I say, well, the way to get readers back is to do more investigative reporting and stop, you know, copying and pasting the Yahoo News, you know, and do that. I mean, you know, that's what the newspapers just do in Chicago. You know, we had all the stories back then about Gacy, and they blew that open, and then they had the whatever else we had there, the super rats swimming through the toilets and all that in Chicago, and it's the newspapers that blew all that open, you know.
the Chicago papers are fabulous.
Yeah.
They're really great.
Well, I mean, especially the Tribune's always good, but I never liked the Tribune because they own the Cubs. So, I mean, as always, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to support that paper. The Sun-Times was the paper in town when I was there, because it was in a tabloid format. You could fold it up and read it in the train, on the L, everything. I mean, it's a nice paper. The Sun-Times, excellent paper. Whoa, that's our warning signal that our segment is over there, Chip. Anyway, thank you for being on the program.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. I hope you have on again very soon. All right, sir?
Yeah, thank you. And anybody stop by Political Sports and send me a note, send me a comment, and thanks for the night.
All right, thank you very much, sir. And that was Chip Spear of PoliticalSports.com. We thank him for being on the program. I like that. A little more sports analogy of the political news. So anyway, we'll be back in just a couple minutes with Philip Nguyen from BlogCritics.org with our pop culture discussion. And we'll be back in a couple minutes. This is Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com. We'll be right back.
of the humans remain entertained until the end.
There you go. There are the Cylons. It's always a good week when the Cylons show up on time. You know what I'm saying? They got to paint the... There you go. They got to paint the rest of my house when they get down here. So I'm going to put them to work tomorrow, you know. But anyway, this is subject to... There you go. This is subject to discussion. The second hour live on LVRocks.com and also podcasted. I thank everybody who podcasted the program last week. Thank you very much. And those of you who do not have an iPod, you can also listen to the program without having an iPod. You can go to LVRocks.com, click on podcast, and then you can click on the program there and listen to it that way without having an iPod. So, and that being said, we'll bring Philip on from blogcritics.org. Philip Wynn, are you there, sir?
I am. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back.
Thank you.
We finally have a repeat visitor, repeat guest from blogcritics.org.
Yeah, maybe it's a little early for that. I know you want Natalie Davis, but maybe she got tied up or something, literally or something. I don't know.
I hope not.
She's not into that, is she? No.
I wouldn't know.
So anyway, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And now, BlogCritics, we have a lot of new listeners in the chat room. Give everybody an update on exactly what is blogcritics.org.
BlogCritics is a, we call ourselves a sinister cabal of superior bloggers. Basically, it's an online magazine that brings together the best, we think, the best bloggers from around the world. And this year, actually, we've started something where all articles are now edited by a team of editors, which includes several professional editors who do this for free. So that all the articles you see on the site have actually been vetted out by an editor and checked for all those pesky little typos and issues that so plague blogs these days.
Mm. Well, congratulations for that. That's very
good.
It's
a lot of work, but I think it's paying off.
Yes, and actually, I was on the... You always post a comment about the program, and I appreciate it. And I was reading the comments. I mean, you know, some people, you know, the one girl, I don't know what her name is now. I don't have that up right now. She said they only get their news from this program. You know, I mean,
there you go.
I mean, you know, it's humbling. But I mean, I think really, you know, they should get their, you know, more, you know, get blogcritics.org. You know, go on the internet, search on some of the news sites. You know, don't depend on one 2 hour a week radio program for your news. If you do that, you'll be lost. You know what I'm saying?
I suppose so. Yeah, I have learned you've got quite a few listeners at colleges around the country and maybe around the world. So
hello
to everybody who's sitting around a student union somewhere listening in.
Well, let's hope you know, that we can grow the program and do something special with it. You know, get it expanded or something. I don't know. I'll work on that. Anyway, the first thing you want to talk about now, I don't want to step on. We have a new wrestling show here in LV Rocks called Carnage. But this happened Monday. The WWE had a nipple incident on Raw. Is that correct?
They did. They, of course, this is Vince McMahon's wrestling deal, and it apparently he likes to get quite elaborate with the weird storyline. So much soap opera and so little wrestling goes on in professional wrestling these days.
Absolutely. And well, I used to be involved in the wrestling business here in Vegas. I was backstage at Raw a few years back as well. But
really?
Yeah. They had a Raw here at the Thomas and Mack, and I went backstage. Actually, I was able to go down the ramp through the Raw set there. That was cool. I'm not going to get into it. Had a nice discussion, but it was nice because I always liked the WWE and be able to walk out through the curtain and go down to the ring. You know, through the Raw set. I liked it. You know, but you said now Lita, her left nipple became exposed during the whole time?
Yeah, basically they had a segment where, I'm not actually sure what's most disturbing to people who are watching. I mean, it's WWE, so I don't think people were necessarily tuning in for the most wholesome of family entertainment to begin with.
No.
They're looking for, fun, a good time. But there was a segment in which Lita and her boyfriend actually set up a bed in the middle of the ring and went in and decided to have a live sex act.
Oh, you're kidding. I missed it.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no.
You know, all under the covers. Oh. And one would assume it was completely and totally faked, except for the part that it turns out Lita was at least topless.
Really?
As we discovered when the camera came around the side of the bed and she flashed the world.
Really?
Now here in the U.S., immediately the screen was blacked out as the announcers kind of went, "Whoa, hey, what happened here?"
Mm-hmm.
In other, satellite feeds, Canada, I think, jumped to a crowd reaction, and then the international satellite feed just, kept on with it. And
We actually had some news on this up on blogcritics.org, but then the folks from WWE sent us a nice letter from their lawyers.
Uh-oh.
So we had to take some. We had to take the pictures down.
Uh-oh. they get very defensive of their product. I'm telling you gotta watch it with the WWE. You know, they get very defensive. You know,
that is somewhat the question. It's really easy, of course, you would think, to simulate a sex act under covers without actually removing clothing. So you got to kind of ask: was there purpose? Is this part of publicity stunt? They wanted it to be known that there are nipple slips happening on WWE, and everybody should tune in to catch another one. Or
well, Vince McMahon, he has always said any publicity is good publicity for him. Doesn't he have to, once they spell his name right and get the name of the promotion right, he doesn't care. Apparently, you know what I mean?
And WWE Raw had various wardrobe malfunctions in the past, but this is the first one since Janet Jackson's infamous incident at the Super Bowl.
Well,
so
we'll see.
It remains to be seen if they get in any trouble, but I kind of doubt it.
Because it's on USA, and it's in the second hour, and they've stated they can get away with more in USA than they ever could. They never would have flown on Spike TV. There's no way.
Right.
But USA, they're a little more loose with the sensors and everything. But anyway, we'll see. And then actually, you said now tomorrow night, you said Lost is finally coming back after 6 weeks. Wait, what the hell? I didn't know it was off for 6 weeks.
Oh, I've had the cold shakes, man. I tell you, I've been waking up in the middle of the night trying to. I'm just sitting here, kind of counting the numbers, and this is one of the few shows on television I actually I watch religiously, and I don't just mean at Easter and Christmas. I mean every single time
really?
It comes on, and they took a 6 week break.
That's ridiculous for a show like that. Do you think they want to keep building the interest? 6 weeks, that's a long time to be off the air. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They did that last year, too.
Yeah.
They'll take another month off, like in
really?
February.
Well, it's like Galactica.
It's painful.
I'm a big Battlestar Galactica fan, and they take time off, too, so I guess that makes sense. But, I mean...
You know what? There's a big difference between doing a 12-week episode and then taking... You know, 12 weeks is not a long series.
Yeah.
Compared to Lost, which probably does 20.
20 or so. How many episodes?
24 a year, I think.
Wow.
It is 24, but they stretch it over like
8 months.
40 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah. But I mean,
they'll have another gap, and they'll play some repeats in February. But, yeah, it's there's a lot of mystery building on the show. All the characters are in a state of flux. So,
so we'll see.
That is certainly one thing I'm looking forward to.
Now, how are the ratings doing for Lost? Are they still up? I mean, is they as high as they were last year for Lost?
Lost's ratings are still quite high. I haven't actually checked in a while, but my understanding is that the second season was actually higher than the beginning of the second season was higher than the end of the first season.
Oh, that's good.
So they did manage to pick up some viewers in the gap, and I think some of that had to do with people catching it on DVD and getting up to speed.
Well, yeah, because a lot of these shows, I mean, I know the chat room's talking about Serenity and everything, how they really didn't do all that well in the box office, yet they're burning up the DVD sales. That's leading to the speculation that they'll make another movie just based on the DVD sales.
I've been suspecting they'll release the next movie direct to DVD or something.
Maybe. And then what about Howard Stern? Now, he premiered yesterday on Sirius. How did he do? Do you have Sirius?
I do not have Sirius, so I've had to rely on some people... some friends of mine who do, and some blog critics writers who do, and I'm hearing really mixed results.
Really?
I think the general idea is it certainly was no worse than his show on K-Rock, but not necessarily any better. And I think people were somehow hoping that, freed from the fetters of the SCC, that he would suddenly plumb new territories or break new ground and well. So far, it seems to be a little bit of rehashing and getting up to speed, but I think it'll settle in.
Well, he did drop the F-bomb a few times, and I think somebody said he scolded a guest for dropping the F-bomb too many times on the air as well. So, it's interesting. I mean, he's got the show, and he's got two more channels that they gave him as well, right?
Right. So. He's got at least two full channels, so he'll definitely have some fun programming that stuff. Since I don't have Sirius, I've had to content myself with listening to his East Coast replacement, Diamond David Lee Roth.
How's he doing?
I was honestly astounded. I tuned in the first day that he was on the air, which was last week, January 3rd. And whenever I'd seen David Lee Roth in interviews, he seemed kind of like he'd done a bit
too much weed or something. It just
really?
Just really stoned out of his mind, drunk off his butt. I'm not sure what. And so I was just startled to tune in and find a coherent, rational, if a little focused on himself, radio host. It was not the David Lee Roth I expected.
Really? Now, who else took? No, somebody else took his place on the West Coast. Who is that?
Adam Carolla.
Ah, him. Yeah. I don't think he'll do that well. David Lee Roth's got a rock and roll following, so I think he'll probably do better than Carolla. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was a little surprised though to find that Roth at least is only on the air in 7 cities, and I'm not actually sure how many cities Stern was on. When he left K-Rock, but it had to be more than 7.
Yeah. It was, like 300 and something stations or, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think nobody will be able to equal that unless they, come out of the box on fire, huh?
Sure.
You know, because they're an unproven talent. David Lee Roth on the radio or Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla did that. What did he do? He did the Man Show or something? Did he do the Man Show?
Yeah, Adam Carolla did the Man Show. Yeah. He's actually been on the radio for years doing Loveline.
Oh, with
the late night thing.
Yeah, but Dr. What's his name? Dr. Phil? No, not Dr. Phil.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew, there you go. So, I don't know, we'll see. And then also you want to talk about the Critics' Choice Awards have been announced, and Brokeback Mountain is the biggest winner.
That's right. The Critics' Choice Awards is basically the first award show of the televised awards season, so we'll be seeing a lot of these coming down the pike here in the next weeks and months, but Brokeback Mountain won 2 awards, Best Director and Best Picture, so they're really the 2 biggest awards you can get, and none of the other films actually won more than one, but we did have Best Actress went to Reese Witherspoon for Walk the Line, and Best Actor to Philip Seymour Hoffman for Capote, so it got spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
You had some Kung Fu Hustle, some Chronicles of Narnia.
Really?
I guess Walk the Line did get both Best Soundtrack and Best Actress, so you could kind of say it came in twice, but soundtrack. I mean, does that even count?
I don't know. Well, I guess so, yeah, it counts. Any award you win, it was counts as something, you know what I'm saying?
Well, okay, Walk the Line and Brokeback Mountain were the most awarded then.
There you go. Well, now Brokeback Mountain, I've been reading that they've been pulling it out of some theaters. We're at in Utah. And,
there was one theater in Utah where the manager decided that he would not be showing it after having announced that they would be.
That
sort of thing, I mean, I don't know how many tickets they're exactly losing there in Utah, but I imagine it's more than made up for by all the publicity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they say it's probably make about $30 million before it's over and done with, and then I imagine it'll do better in the DVD sales and in the movie theaters,
yeah.
I would imagine.
I think, yeah, a lot of straight guys will watch it on DVD when no one's around who wouldn't be caught anywhere near the theater, I think.
Yeah, and then Heath Ledger has come back with that Casanova movie. I think he timed this one to hopefully get back his female following.
Maybe?
Yeah, it's I think. I mean, it's a funny timing how he did this movie, then right after his Casanova. I mean, that's a little coincidental,
right.
A little weird there. And then also the big news, I'm on Yahoo right now, but the Newlyweds house that Lachey and Simpson had has been bought by Malcolm in the Middle star Justin Bernfield.
Yeah.
Now that's not Malcolm. That's who? That's the older one, right? It's the older brother.
That's correct. That's
not the older brother. The second older brother. Whoever the hell he is. No. I don't know. I don't really watch that show, but it's one of the brothers on Malcolm Middle bought the Newlyweds house. So yeah, that's
which, as most of us have seen from the television show, it's a pretty nice house.
Pretty nice house, absolutely. Good for him. He bought the place. And then Britney Spears is topping the world's top worst dressed list. So Mr. Blackwell will name her the worst dressed. Her clothes make her look like an Overhill Lolita. He said. So wow, she's getting hammered left and right, huh?
Yeah, I think she's getting hammered not for her her stage clothes though, not her outfits that she wears on stage because she hasn't been touring in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's getting hammered for what she just chooses to wear out and about when she coaxes photographers into taking pictures. Asks photographers not to take pictures of her, and lo and behold, surprise, surprise, she dresses like a, I want to be nice. She dresses like someone from Louisiana.
Isn't that where she's from?
That is where she's from.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not.
I'm dressed like somebody from Chicago, I guess. I don't know. And what else? Arrested Development. You want to talk about that? Now, Fox. What? The Fox is not going to produce any more of the episodes, right?
Yeah, they're just not getting the ratings they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, now,
and I have to say, in Fox's defense, because I know a lot of people are upset at Fox about canceling Arrested Development, they've really, I think, given the show more than a fair shot.
Yeah.
They they put it into a prime time slot. They really, you know, they renewed it even though it had dismal ratings for the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've really worked hard at it, but it just seems that it's not going to pick up the viewers that it needs to be even remotely profitable. It's another show, though, where, you know, DVD sales would almost, you know, lead someone to want to finance it just for that. And they're hoping at this point they can get picked up by, you know, ABC or one of the cable networks or something like that.
Well, is the
fact, they had a very amusing in the last episode that aired.
Uh-huh.
They like to spoof, you know, talk about current events wrapped up in the show. They had a big campaign the last time they were going to be canceled about saving the family, SaveOurBluth.com, that's the name of the family, was big in that. And, of course, it was all about saving the show, but they turned it into something different. And here, too, they're talking about the home builders organization isn't going to want to buy us. Oh, yeah, no, HBO won't be interested. Well, I guess it's showtime then. And
Well, hopefully. I mean, I saw rumors that ABC was going to pick us. It's going to be either ABC or Showtime. And then they think in ABC, of course, you know, it's a network that could get more visibility on ABC. And,
sure.
You know, Disney can market it, you know, out of the blue. So hopefully, I mean, who's that? That's Ron Howard's program, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, but
he does the narration for it, and he produces it.
Yeah, with Jason Bateman and Jessica Walter and who's the guy? Yeah, Tambor, he was the guy. I remember him.
Tambor,
yeah. Yeah, I remember him from the Ropers. He was on the Ropers. I remember that that miserable spinoff of Three's Company. But then, what else? He did something else. He did that talk show that, it's like the
Gary Shandling.
There you go. There he did. Was it Jerry?
He was on
Gary
the Gary Shandling show. He played the Ed McMahon.
Yeah. He's always been funny. I liked him on the Ropers. I thought that was good too. But hopefully the show will get picked up. I mean, a good quality program. It's hard to find in these networks now. You get all these, god awful shows on. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. How many?
Unfortunately, I think the show's a little bit expensive to make. They've got, as you mentioned, they've got some awesome talent on there, and obviously it costs a bit of money to put it on every week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully with ABC picking up, they can, you know, afford the contracts and still be able to make it up in DVD sales or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Serenity earlier, and I'll just kind of jump back to that. I think a lot of people are distressed about characters who died during the movie, and I won't give anything away for people who haven't seen it, even though it's been out on DVD since December 20th, so, you know, who hasn't seen it yet? Mm-hmm. But I do think some of that had to do with trying to get into budget.
Yeah.
The problems, again, was over budget. You know, they were way over budget.
I have not seen Serenity.
Oh.
What's wrong with you, Sean?
I don't know. I guess I'm like, to get me to go to the theater, it's got to be something that...
It's been out on DVD since December.
I know.
I
just bought the damn season 2.0 of Galactica, and I got the an iPod the other day, and I'm trying to figure that thing out. And I got this cold. I don't know.
It's less than 20 bucks.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'll bet the DVD just to say I have it. But I mean, getting me to go to see it in the theater, I don't know. It's got to be something that, you know, makes me want to go to the theater, like Syriana.
I didn't go see it at the theater, but I saw it already.
Really? That kind of movie, I think you have to see in the theater to get the full effect of the movie, right? Because the music and the noise and everything, you got to be in the theater to get the full effect. Seeing it at home, unless you have a, you know, surround sound TV, you don't get the full effect, you know?
Maybe not the full effect, although it's worth noting that Joss Whedon is very much a television writer and director. And I actually got the feeling a couple times in the theater, like, There was a scene or two where it was almost too television-y.
Yeah.
Whereas watching it on DVD just feels right to me. But maybe that's probably just my prejudice because I'm used to it as a television show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never, actually, you know what? I never got into it as a TV show either. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be, you know, it's something that makes me want to watch it. Serenity, I don't know. The characters are smart alecky. It reminded me too much of Stargate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already watching that. What am I watching this for? You know what I mean? And I don't know. But hopefully, I mean, it's Joss Whedon, what else did he do? He did Buffy, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did Buffy. He wrote Toy Story, which a lot of people forget.
Toy Story?
He wrote the original Toy Story.
Really? Wow. Well, yeah. I tell you that Buffy should win an Oscar for best... I liked Sarah Michelle Gellar. She should win an Oscar, I'd say. No. Actually, I remember her from All My Children. She was the first... Kendall Hart, Erica Kane's illegitimate daughter.
I'll take your word for that.
There you go. So, but that's my contribution to that. And then what else you want to talk about? Now the Apple, now they're coming out with these new Intel CPUs, right? With the Macintosh, you have the big Mac.
Yeah, they had a big announcement today, and it's kind of funny. Apple, I'm not sure quite how pop culture Apple is. I mean, Apple of all computer companies, I guess, is part of the pop culture zeitgeist of America, at least, if not the world. And so, their announcement today, they announced some new software and things like that, very interesting to the Mac faithful and maybe not necessarily outside. But they also announced that their new computers, based on Intel processors, are ready. Or at least in one case, they're ready. The iMacs, I believe, are shipping within days, whereas the MacBook Pro, which is their new laptop line, will ship next month.
Really? Well, hopefully, man. And the iPods, I read something they sold with like 100 an hour or something. I read.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, I don't know where I read from somewhere.
It was something ridiculous. They sold millions of the things.
It's unbelievable. Amazing. Yeah. And then now they're going to come out with something else with the iPods. Now, what else are they going to be able to do with them now?
FM remote control.
There you go.
Thingamajobby.
And I think in a couple of years you'll be able to give yourself a prostate exam with the damn iPod, huh? What do you think?
You know, quite frankly, I don't think I'll want a prostate exam from an iPod or any other.
Why not? You'll be able to scan it over here and send the results in, you know what I mean?
No, it has to be one of those scan from the outside prostate exams.
There you go. Well, I mean, we did have, the show, we're from a program, excuse me, it's not a show, it's a program. This program's from Las Vegas. We just hit the CES here in town. And, man, all the stuff they're showing there, incredible. I mean, this technology is moving, light speed ahead, so they say. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Oh, 14.
In Apple, they've got these new processors in there, and basically what they're claiming is you won't notice a difference.
Yeah.
Except in one way. Everything will be lots faster.
Mm-hmm.
They played back and forth with Intel for years over which processor was faster, and it was pretty obvious for the last couple of years that Intel was growing by leaps and bounds, and Motorola/IBM was kind of sitting still. And so now they're basically saying, we just doubled the speed of your iMac for the same price, thanks. Or we just quadrupled the speed of your laptop. The PowerBook is what they're replacing now with this new thing.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ebnetter is saying in the chat room that there's 14 million iPods out there. Wow.
14 million. Wow.
That is
amazing.
Incredible. Well, that's revolutionized everything. You know what I mean? You got all the TV shows going on there. A lot of radio shows are on podcasted. And this is podcasted. I mean, it's amazing what a little invention from Apple computers can do. You know what I mean? Just revolutionize.
Yeah, just the idea of a podcast. I mean, it's pretty funny. There's nothing specifically iPod-y in theory about a podcast. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about an iPod. It begs to be licked, I think.
Licked? Oh, I don't know about licked. Look at
that. Yeah, it's just so cute. You want to eat it, don't you?
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to eat the iPod. I'm still trying to figure the damn thing out. But I mean, it's amazing how now you can watch TV on them. You see TV shows on them.
Sure.
I mean, ABC's got podcasts. I mean, it's funny because when they first started, what's his name? Adam Curry was the first one to do a podcast, and everybody thought it was just a bunch of nerds sitting around in their basement doing a radio show. And now all of a sudden, everybody's on it. You know, the Rush Limbaugh, you got O'Reilly, they're all doing it.
Sure. Well, there's a little bit of debate. I can't let it go without saying there is some debate about the actual origin of podcasting. But Adam Curry certainly plays, a prominent role in the beginning stages. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, it's only going to get better. Now is blogcritics.org, somebody else saying that you can start a podcast pretty soon of your own?
Yeah, we've had a couple of experiences with podcasts, and we actually carry a number of member podcasts, including my own. personal podcast as part of the blogcritics.org radio network, we've called it.
Wow.
Although I've been on hiatus longer than Lost, even, personally. but we are going to be relaunching soon the official Blog Critics podcast, and we've got Eric Olson managing that, and he's got, more than 25 years of experience in radio, and he knows his stuff, so I'm looking forward to that in the next hopefully a month or two.
Well, good for him. Hopefully you'll do it. I'd be glad to come on. I'd be glad to reciprocate the visits.
Absolutely.
Here from Blog Critics. So, well, then, Philip Wynn, we only got like a minute left. Do you want to say anything to the listeners before we let you go?
Well, I do want to mention, I know we already talked about blogcritics.org a little bit, but I do want to mention we just launched a SciTech, science and technology section in the last week and a half or so. So we are always looking for good writers, writers who have blogs, if they want to join up and contribute, or at least stop by and check out what we've got in science and technology.
Well, very good. Well, Philip Wynn, we thank you for being on the program.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. You have a good night, and we'll talk to a member of your group next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
All righty, bye. Bye.
And that was Philip Wynn from blogcritics.org. We thank him for our weekly diversion into pop culture. It was very interesting, talking about Lost and Howard Stern and David Lee Roth and all that business. And, yeah, still, I never did like Howard Stern very much, so... You know, each to each their own, I guess. I don't know. And now, before she comes on, I want to, you know, give my review. I thought that the Katie Sackhoff's Battlestar Galactica, what do you call it? It's my channel's Battlestar Galactica. Whoever's it is, it's this cold medication I'm on. You know, it was. I thought it was an outstanding episode. You know what I mean? I thought the first episode when they come back, it's gonna be all full of special effects and everything. It wasn't. It was more of a drama episode than it was a special effects laden episode. Really, there was no, you know, the ships flying around. Yeah, that, you know, but I like it. There's a lot of drama. You really didn't miss the special effects because there was so much drama in the show Friday night when they did the part one of Resurrection Ship. So, and then, like I said, there's an article I posted on the LV Rocks board from GalacticaStation.com, Zoic Studios. They do the visual effects for the series, and they're promising some super effects for Friday's conclusion to a Resurrection Ship. It's supposed to be on a scale on which we've never seen in television before. So it's like, wow, that's going to be pretty incredible. They can top Star Trek and all that. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I hope so. I mean, it, you know, but I liked that the drama, the action was spread out between all the characters, I thought, pretty evenly. You know, Adama had a few good moments. Rosalyn had a few good moments. Apollo had a few. They all is all spread out. And how about that Admiral Kane there? She, man, she's I don't know. She took the crews of the of her fleet and picked off who she wanted, and then those the family members she put up against the bulkhead and killed. I mean, that's good. I mean, we need some kind of escapism. Now, this reminds me, Galactica reminds me of Dallas during its heyday when, you know, Dallas was going strong. You know, it was when the Iraq, the 80s when Reagan was in, we had the high inflation, the high unemployment, all this stuff. It gave everybody an escape from, you know, all the troubles going on in the real world and escape into a different world and worry about, you know, like a Dallas, you know, JR and all them. And the same thing with this one. You know, you could escape at least for an hour a week into their world. You know, we're see what's happened with Starbucks ovaries and all this stuff. And then, you know, with Lee and Dama get together. So, I mean, you know, let's hope, you know, we'll see what happens with there. So hopefully she'll be calling in. I did email her to remind her, so hopefully she will be calling in. But, I mean, I like the episode. We haven't gotten the ratings yet. Kenny Gruels is in the chat room, and he hasn't gotten the ratings yet either. I'm guessing, I don't know, say at least a 2.3 in the ratings for the program for last Friday, it's, I think. Because a lot of news was overshadowed. It was overshadowed by that mining business, and when that was kind of overshadowed it. And the you know, a lot of the other news, you know, Ariel Sharon, that was kind of overshadowing things as well. So I think, you know, a 2.2 is at least, they'll get 2.2. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the ratings. And then now they said that this is going to be a two-parter because originally it's going to be a one-part episode, but that apparently there's so much material that they decided to expand it into a two-part episode. So now we get an extra dose of Michelle Forbes as Kane this coming Friday, and the part two is of Resurrection Ship. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, and then at that scene at the end, I thought it was pretty cool with Adama and Kane both instructing, Kane was instructing Fisk how to go on to the CIC of the Galactica you know, instruct the Marines to end Adama's command, beginning with Adama himself. And then he said the same thing to Starbuck, that you know, pull out your sidearm and shoot Admiral Kane in the head. I mean, like, I thought, man, that was a cool way to end the program on Friday. And then we held the whole interaction with Baltar and Gina. You know, and Gina's starting to come around. She's talking now. You know, she wants to be dead and all this. And then how about that ship, huh? Kind of that the Resurrection Ship? Damn, I was impressed with that. I'm like, holy cow. And that's where all the it's all the sixes are at and everything. And I liked that. It was cool. And then they had the whole scene where Baltar is sick of doing those little scenes in the beach house with the six. That was cool. He's kind of maturing as a man, apparently, because apparently this all this business with Gina has, I think, humanized him a little bit. So will he be as evil as he was before? He really, you know, I mean, you know, who knows? But I think this has kind of humanized the character a little bit. And because he's, you know, feeding her and giving her clothes and everything. And how about when she turned around, all the scars on her back? That was pretty incredible. So, and then the poor Rosalyn. Rosalyn's like, she's slipping away there. You know, she was on her, you know, sick bed there with Adama, and saying that you know, she's worried about him. That as long as Kane is alive, Adama's life is in danger. You know, because of she don't realize that how does she know all this? You know, Kane is take no prisoners approach. You know, I mean, she, you know, and she pretty much called it that you don't trust her. Don't turn your back on Kane. I don't know, but some characters we didn't see. At least I didn't see him. I didn't see Billy at all in the episode. And Gaeta was on, I think, briefly, right? Candace Duella, Dee was on briefly as well. And then Nikki Klein, she was on briefly as well. I mean, yeah, I mean, you can't get everybody in lines. I mean, Ty had some lines there with Fisk, who I thought was pretty. He's the one that got out. It's funny how Adama apparently is using Ty's drinking habit against him. You know, he have him take Kane down to the where they have the distillery, the moonshine, and getting him drunk to reveal what happened to the fleet that the Pegasus had. So I don't know, but I mean, those opening scenes are pretty cool. I thought when the ships were all the Vipers were all flying around each other, and then when she said to target the main batteries of the Galactica, I'm like, man, here we go. And then they had the and then Starbuck came back from the mission, and she's like seeing all this, like, what the hell's going on? You know, and actually, it wasn't for her. The war would have started between the two ships. You know. And then I think with Rosalyn saying that you know, if there was a battle, she pretty much assured that the Pegasus would come out on top, and Adama said wouldn't bet on it. But, I mean, you know, how can the Galactica survive an attack from the Pegasus? The Pegasus is supposed to be a more advanced ship. So, I don't know. And where the hell's the damn fleet?
Is it a bigger ship?
What? It's a bigger ship, isn't it?
Well, you know how they had the models?
Yeah.
They were planning the attack. They had the map, and they're showing, like, the models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had the Galactica, and the Pegasus was, as far as, like, the models that they had mm-hmm. on that, the plan as to how to attack that the Cylon.
Oh, yeah, to do the resurrection ship. Yeah, the plan that Starbuck and
yeah,
Apollo
so they're
came
explaining
up with, yeah.
what they're going to do. Well, they had, like, the Galactica's going to be here, Pegasus is going to be over here, mm-hmm. and the Pegasus model was a bit bigger than Galactica, so I'm guessing the Pegasus is a bigger ship.
Yeah, well, I mean, they said it's a more advanced ship, so I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because we'll see the weapons finally that these ships have. Because we haven't seen, you know, because you said target the main batteries. I don't think we've ever seen the main batteries on the Galactica because we saw those little, you know, the guns going. But I don't know. It'll be kind of cool to see what the main batteries can do. You know, and then now according to that article, that you know, it's a lot of work to do all these special effects. You have two huge ships going to brawl out on the show. They said, and then you know, these it's supposed to be mile-long ships. The old Galactica was a mile-long ship as well. So, and you know, and the resurrection ship. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, you want to make a prediction? What's going to happen? You think they're going to destroy that ship?
Which one? The Pegasus?
No. Well, yeah. No.
The resurrection
ship. They're going to destroy it. Or they'll think. Ooh, what was that? Are they going to think they destroyed it? Huh? I don't know.
I could see them like trying to destroy it, and maybe mm-hmm. they put it out of commission, but they don't totally destroy it, so it kind of gives them a lead of like a few maybe weeks mm-hmm. to kind of get some distance between them and the Cylons.
Mm. Buy them some time.
Well, because, you know, the Cylons can't really do anything without that ship.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if any Cylon gets killed...
Yeah, they're finished.
They're finished.
Yeah.
So they got to wait till they fix that. So I don't know if they'll totally destroy it.
Or damage it enough where it goes off. They go off for a while. We don't see any Cylons for a few weeks, do you think?
Well, the thing is, the seeing Cylons is very lackluster as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see the actual... Well, I mean, the human ones, the humanoids.
Oh, you see the human, but you don't really see the...
Yeah, the toasters, as they call them.
Yeah, toasters.
That would be kind of cool, though. If they can't use the new Cylons, they have to trot out the old Cylons.
Yeah, bring back the old ones.
With the silver ones. I don't know. I mean, We'll see. I mean, I like the Friday show episode, you know, really. This whole thing with Kane. What do you think of her, huh? Tough cookie.
She's a little biatch.
And when she's telling Fisk to kill.
I've seen her in another
Star
show
Trek.
Before.
Yeah, she was Roe, and she was in 24, too. She was in that.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. I think the first season of 24, she was on that. So, but, I mean, I like what she, you know, I'm like, wow, this character, I mean, she's a, the hell. He wants Fisk to kill Adama. You know, and then Adama's plotting to start to go kill Kane, you know, shoot her in the head, kill her.
Kill her.
You know, I don't know. And then Rosalind's on her deathbed. You know, that's going to lead probably the storyline Koenig Rules reveal that they're going to use Cylon stem cells from supposedly from Boomer's child to save Rosalind's life. So I'm getting to think that Rosalind's the false prophet of the colonies. You know what I mean? Because they said the leader will die before they reach an earth. I think she's the false one. Now she's going to be cured. I think maybe Starbuck might be the real prophet. You know? Because she's showing she's religious. Every once in a while, she brings out the figurines of the characters and starts, you know, praying, "Oh, the Lords of Cobalt, hear our prayer." I think she might be, but she doesn't know it yet. She's the real prophet of the Lords of Cobalt, you know, and she'll die before they reach the Earth, you know.
Maybe.
I don't know. And, well, hopefully nothing happened to Katie Sackhoff there. But it's all right. Maybe she got the movie, you know. But I talked to her last night, but oh well. But, I mean, I like the episode really very well. And I'm curious about these ratings, you know, because everybody now, this is the one, these 10 episodes you can match up against the episodes from last year, because now they're running, you know, side by side now. Because before you had the summer, season, of course, the show wasn't on in the summer. Now you can run. You can match up the ratings from episode to episode against last year's the first season. So now we'll get a good, you know, comparison between if viewership has increased or decreased. You know, I would imagine that they'd increase viewership. You know, I don't know. Now I see Nielsen is including the DVRs in the ratings now, which is good. And now they got the iTunes. You can subscribe to all the episodes on iTunes and watch all the episodes that way. I mean, they can include the iTunes in the ratings. I don't know. And then what else? And of course they got the DVDs. DVDs are flying off the shelf. I read something that the series is number 3 in something else in what was it? iTunes, I think it was. And we had a chat room help me out. Was it number 3 in the iTunes for downloading the episode? I think so. Let me see. Oh, we got all these questions in here. You know what? I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. But I'm not running side by side with you. Ed Koenig. He says, "That's right, Sean, but I'm not running side by side with you." Well, no, but it's right though, because this is the last 10. We can match them up against the first season there, because of course those are 13 episodes, but we can still match these 10 against 10 episodes of last year. So I mean, that makes sense. And what else? Better Dog got sick. I don't know. It's something minor. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we had no show, so it won't be the last either. I already got your link from my website. It's a little buck. Yeah, I really do thank you guys for helping me get the word out about the program, especially on sci-fi.com, as well as Galactica Station and some of the others, you know, because I can't possibly hit them all. There's so many damn sites, Media Boulevard and all those sites. So hopefully we get something done here, really, because, I mean, it's a good series. And now after this, we're going to have an episode, like I said, with Rosalind and her dying scenes. She's going to flash back to life on Caprica with President Adair. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and what kind of person, you know, she was before she left to join the fleet. So, and what else? And I also see that Koenig Rules is now a correspondent with sciencefictionbuzz.com website. It's Judy's website, so we congratulate him on being the contributor to Science Fiction Buzz. And we'll give her a couple more minutes, and if not, Koenig, if you want to call in, we'll do that, but we'll give Katie just a couple more minutes. We'll spin our wheels here. And then, of course, he did reveal that we have Dean Stockwell coming on towards the end of the season. And also we have, Xena coming back as well. So they are, you know, it seems like the show is going to go, you know, straight ahead. I think they might have like one or two of these, you know, kind of a less action-packed episodes. I think the thing with Rosalind would probably be less action-packed. And probably the one, I think, isn't there supposed to be one where Apollo Gets involved in some something's going on in the fleet, so he'll get involved in that. So it's like one of them standalone episodes, kind of, you know, like in Star Trek. They used to have the, you know, the Picard episode, you know, where the rest of the cast isn't seen very much. So we'll see. And oh yes, and then Billy, yeah, we didn't see Billy at all Friday. I don't know what happened to Billy, you know. So we'll see. And Billy, yes, Conan gave it away in the chat room here, but Billy's going to bid farewell. He's going to go up to the big resurrection ship in the sky in a few weeks, apparently. So we'll see. But you never know. I mean, I don't know. One thing I'm glad they're not doing that Star Wars did was have everybody show up in visions and everything, and they kill off, you know, when they had Obi-Wan Kenobi died, and then they showed up as a vision, you know, oh, they used the Force, Luke, oh, used the Force, and then they had, what the hell else, Yoda died, he shows up in the damn thing, and then Anakin Skywalker, he died in the original movies, and he showed up, was like, well, we had to have sell tickets to this, because there's so many damn people in the visions. You know what I mean? Did you watch the end of them, the Return of the Jedi, the last Star Wars? It's like, what the hell, everybody's, they're all here, you know? Anakin didn't deserve to be there. He should have been in
maybe
hell.
Maybe they had one of those resurrection ships. Maybe they're Cylons.
Uh-oh. Yeah, maybe they're tying in everything now. So I don't know. But, I mean, I'm curious how the season's going to end on Galactic, because, you know, what they said, you know, she said last week that they're going to, whoever it is, they did a double take, sci-fi, and then they can't believe they just did that. So I don't know where things are going to happen. I don't know. You know, do you think that they're going to go back and, I don't know, Omos has said that he won't stand for any of this hokey garbage on the show, so they can't do anything crazy, like, you know, to go through the space-time continuum and all that. You know, they won't be able to do that, you know, but I don't know. I mean, unless they do some kind of, somehow they're on the old Galactica from the old series.
I just understand now that they've kind of, sort of, regrouped. Especially now having the Pegasus, they've kind of, sort of, regrouped.
Yeah, oh, the fleet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the two Galacticas, since they can time warp back to the planet and try to win their...
Well, we don't know if this show can time warp.
Huh?
We don't know if this Battlestar Galactica can time warp.
I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah. Because that would be interesting.
I don't understand the whole... I know I understand the whole concept of the, you know, Cylons trying to infiltrate without us knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, what are they waiting for? You know, it's kind of like dragging.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, well, yeah, because they've said, Koenig has said as well, that Pegasus is going to stick around for a while. So we don't know what they're going to do with the Pegasus. You know, they can spin it off into its own show. I've said maybe, but, you know, obviously the Pegasus is going to hang around. What for? I mean, you know, it's a big-ass ship, you know. What are they going to do with the thing? So who knows? I mean, it'd be kind of nice to, you know, they got all kinds of things that's going to happen. We don't even know. I mean, the actors know. I mean, I like it that the spoilers aren't as prevalent as they were in the first season. And what is this, the chat room saying that Koenig almost doesn't want aliens, only Hispanics? He doesn't. All right, whatever. We'll see. What else? Hispanics are aliens, illegal anyways. Hope not. It literally resets. What is that? I don't know. But we'll see what happens with that. I mean, it's a good show. I just hope the ratings stay up and we buy the damn DVDs. You know, I still haven't been able to find the companion anywhere. I've not been able to find the companion out here. Anybody has the companion, let me know. Oh, who's on the line here? Koenig Rules? Koenig Rules joining us live. Koenig, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Ah, thank you for stepping in place of Katie tonight. We appreciate it. I don't know what happened. There you go. There you go. And Cody Grills gets the official greeting.
Thank you. You know, I love that old theme song music.
Yeah, maybe she got offended last week. We played that song for her. What do you think?
Now, well, maybe you're right. You said that she was possibly starring in a movie.
There you go. There are the Cylons. There you go. All over us now is Muffet. You got Muffet in there, Con? No? Oh, you got to bring Muffet back.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I almost trotted out Muffet. What are you talking about? Yeah. If you didn't call in, Muffet would have made a special return appearance.
Yes.
Appearance. But now, I have not been able to find the companion. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I've had it for weeks now. It was at my Borders bookstore.
We only have it out here. I looked, and we don't have it out here. You know what I mean? Now, what did you think of Resurrection Ship? I thought it was excellent, huh?
Oh, yeah. I already rated it for Galactica Station, and I gave it 12 out of 10.
Really? Now,
yeah, I just thought it was great from the opening sequence with the Vipers not firing on each other, and I thought, how long are they going to continue with that until Starbuck enters in? And then she said, we're all friendlies, you know.
Yeah,
and
I thought that was...
It was great.
I mean, it
was as good as the miniseries, I thought, with the special effects with the Vipers.
Oh, yeah. Well, they said that item on... Galactica Station about the effects on this next episode is supposed to be incredible.
Oh, yeah. In fact, and they're showing some spoiler pics up
on
the boards, too, and this looks really awesome.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
Really?
Now,
do you think they're going to destroy the Resurrection Ship?
It sure looks like it
based
on the pictures, but, you know, some people have speculated that because only two base stars were protecting this Resurrection Ship, that maybe there's more than one. Otherwise, the Cylons would only be operating in a limited area of space. So for Cylons to operate so far from the home world, there's probably a number of these Resurrection Ships.
Oh, so there's more than one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that would be believable, so that if they destroy one, well... We've destroyed one, but, you know, like the multiple copies of the Cylons, you would think that a machine race could build sort of redundancy into things. So my guess is that they'll have more of them.
Yeah, and then, somehow the Pegasus survives all this, right?
Yep, and though some are saying that it's not really referenced in the next two episodes, my understanding is it's going to be in... all the remaining episodes of season two now.
So it won't be blown to bits?
Nope.
No? Oh. No, what do you think they're going to do with that? Think they're going to spin it off into its own show, or what?
Some rumors have started. I'm not sure if these are true or not, that the Pegasus, it gets wasted, blown away. Something happens at the beginning of season three.
Really?
So I'm not sure if that happens at the beginning of season three or... Mm. A cliffhanger ending to season two, but
that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
My question is, you know, since the Pegasus is the more advanced ship of the two, you know, common sense. I don't know. Here I am. You think Adama and all of them would want to move everything over to the Pegasus and maybe let the Galactica go because the Pegasus is the more advanced ship. Yeah. You know?
But remember, weren't those advanced ships on the planet incapacitated by the Cylon technology, so if anything, it's more vulnerable than the Galactica.
I don't know. But if they do that, they have to rename the show Battlestar Pegasus then. or change the Pegasus name to Galactica. I don't know. But, I mean, I just threw that out there. I'm like, well, I mean, see, if I'm, you know, because they said, you know, we gave away that Rosalind's going to promote Adama to Admiral. You think, well, I'm an Admiral. I'm going to be on the best ship I have. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then
right.
The Pegasus is supposed to be more advanced than the Galactica. I don't know. I thought the episode was excellent because I said the action was evenly spread between the main characters.
Right.
I thought Tyrell had a couple lines, not a whole lot.
Yeah, he's not going to be in too much of these last 10.
Well, I mean,
he
dominated the first 10, though. If you think about it, he had a lot to do. I mean, I like Aaron Douglas, and everybody knows that. But I mean, I think just he had a lot to do in the first 10, and maybe they're going to spread it out a little more evenly now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like Leah Dama is going to get an episode to himself.
Yep.
And who else? Rosalind's going to dominate next the week after next, right?
Right?
And then
he's dying of cancer, you know.
And then so I don't know. I mean, and Dean Stockwell comes on
in the last two, and he's a Cylon, so that means even if they kill him off, he can come back in a season three or season four episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it could be reason why they come in, because you said he's going to be a deacon type of a Cylon.
A brother. Yeah.
And it could be that they're so wounded from this resurrection ship getting blown to smithereens that they'll come to the humans with a peace proposal, right?
Yep. Now you can definitely see a religious motif.
Yeah.
Running throughout from Cylon God to the very what they call the ship Resurrection, so there's a lot of religious overtone.
Yeah, and now do you think now that they do this whole thing with the police? So I'm thinking that, you know what, they're going to kind of emulate the first series, that, you know, they have this big peace plan at the end of the season. It turns out it's going to be a huge trap like it was in the first series.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, I'm
thinking Katie said something last week that it's not going to be as dramatic as the season one cliff.
Yeah.
So my guess is it's probably not going to be special effects laden. It probably is going to be a more emotion-building thing, where you probably see some deception to this peace treaty, or something just as emotionally unnerving, that, and that's how they leave it for the start of season three.
Well, they said, and I keep referring to Galactica Station, but on the Zoic was saying that the battle scenes, they also have to show it from, there's a pilot, I guess. They didn't name who the pilot was. It's going to be like dying at the end of this, during the ending moments of this episode, where the pilot's got to see this battle taking place as well. Did you read that on Galactica Station?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's on there about from Zoic Studios about the special effects. They had to make it look real to the viewer and also show it from a distance of this pilot, apparently, that's dying in his Viper or whatever he's dying in. And the pilot's watching this battle take place as he or she, whoever it is dying.
Wow.
So, who is it dying? I don't know. But, I mean, it'd be interesting to see. You know.
Now, you're correct on one thing about Serenity, and even though they lift some of the effects from Serenity, I liked the movie, but I really thought that the characters, you said, what did you say, they were smart-ass?
The
commander, I mean, and I was talking to another Firefly fan, and they said that the first hour, and I agreed with them, the first hour, the commander comes across flat, cold, I mean, not even like the series. It was a bit of a disappointment, and then the deaths of the two characters, that got me.
Well, yeah, you said that reminded me so much of Stargate. I'm like, wow, I want to sit through that, you know what I mean?
Right. I expected a lot more, and by the ending of it, I was saying, they should have made this into a remade TV series or some TV movies for sci-fi.
Exactly. And then, Joss Whedon is saying that apparently if the DVD sales are going real well, that could spur a sequel.
Yeah, but like your friend said that you interviewed the second hour, probably direct to DVD.
Yeah.
But I think that they're going to probably pitch it to sci-fi. What I really think would be cool is if they start picking up Serenity as a series on sci-fi and pairing it up with Battlestar Galactica.
There you go. Or, like I said, I keep pounding the drums on a spinoff, but, they have two vehicles possibly for a spinoff. Either they can keep the Pegasus around and spin that off, or they can always go back to Caprica and spin them off into their own show. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. If I was sci-fi, I'd do that. I'd build another night.
There's a rumor. First, the new Doctor Who series is coming direct to DVD here in the States on Valentine's Day, February 14th, the first 13 episodes.
Well,
they're
cool.
Killer. I mean, I saw those episodes.
Really?
They're worth the price, Sean, of getting the set. But my understanding is they're also going to be pitching it to American stations, and Sci-Fi is interested again.
Really?
Because they're so impressed with the ratings
that
it got in Britain, that, and they've already picked it up for season two and season three, that it might be that Sci-Fi now is thinking, well, it might be a little bit cheaper for us to just air it in reruns, and we've got another hour programming block.
There you go. Well, now didn't they recast the Doctor Who? They
played. Yes. Yeah, they did. It's almost like those 13 episodes are a complete story with one Doctor, and it is written so well. I mean, it's sort of like I'm torn between that show and Battlestar Galactica.
Really? Oh my God!
Oh yeah! I mean the effect.
You gotta take your temperature. What are you talking about here?
The effects in Doctor Who, and it was such a poor effect show. This one is 10 times better with effects.
Well, you know, the computers have come a long way now.
Even from the time of Babylon 5, remember that show?
Well, yeah, we got Jerry Doyle that lives out here in Vegas. And
really?
Yeah, he does his radio show out here. He keeps pounding the drums about his... every hour he says, Jerry Doyle from Babylon 5. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah,
that show is probably not coming back. It saw its day. Unfortunately.
Well, Koenig, we'll let you go. We thank you for coming in and pinch hitting for Katie.
No problem, and I'll let you know if I hear of any other rumors.
Please, and let us know about the ratings.
I will, but there is one site, and I don't mean to plug it, but
go ahead.
It's www.thefutoncritic, and I reveal this, FUTONcritic.com, and they typically give all the sci-fi press releases the day even before sci-fi releases.
Wow, that's cool.
So if it did really well in the ratings, and I think all three shows did, it'll be up tomorrow.
Very good. Well, Koenig, we thank you for being on the program.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And we thank Koenig Rules for pinch hitting for Katie Sackhoff, and I do apologize. I'm sure something, she's never, no-showed me before. So anyway, we hope to have her on again next week, and maybe if she agrees, we'll may devote more time to it, but we'll see. But anyway, I like the show. Can't wait to see how the second part ends. Should be pretty good. We'll find out where it leaves things for the following week. There are the Cylons.